are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
All right, family, it is 10 minutes after 11. Time for us to get into our conversation with Elder Dennis Chisenga as we speak on applying biblical wisdom to our modern day challenges. And today we're answering the question, can Christians succeed without compromise? The Elder joins us on the line now. My Elder, good morning. Welcome back to the Mid-Morning Empowerment.
Good morning to you, and how are you? I'm so glad to be here.
Excellent. So happy to have you back this morning, my Elder. Let's get straight into our conversation for today. Can Christians succeed without compromise? Now, the pursuit of success often clashes with biblical teachings on contentment and humility. So how do we actually navigate ambition in a way that is honorable to our God? So today's discussion is going to examine the tension between worldly views of prosperity and biblical wisdom, helping us redefine success through a spiritual lens. So let's get straight into it. My Elder, how exactly can Christians pursue career success while remaining grounded in faith? How can we be content and humble, but at the same time still push to be, you know, the best at what I do and to make the most out of my career and my opportunities? How do we balance that?
As we navigate the complexities of career and faith, it's very important for us to remember that our identity is rooted in Christ and not in our profession. Mm-hmm. So two things which can govern us to pursue career successfully while as being grounded in faith, it's seeking God's will. That's the first thing, seeking God's will. It means that we should begin each day by seeking God's guidance and wisdom. We pray for discernment and we ask God to review his plans for our career, what he has for us. Mm-hmm. When we get into Proverbs 3, verse 5 to 6, where the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. And it says in all your ways. I like how it phrases it. It does not say in some of your ways, but in all your ways, including the careers, we must pursue him. We must submit to him and he will make our path straight. So from here, we are being reminded that we should trust in God's sovereignty and guidance in our career pursuit. Then the second thing is, as we pursue careers, we must also prioritize spiritual growth, which means we must make time for spiritual disciplines like reading scripture, journaling, as in writing something, mm-hmm. To share, praying. And this will help us to stay grounded in our faith while as we focus on what truly matters. Remember what the Bible tells us in Matthew 6, verse 33, that seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto us. So we can really strike a balance where we are seeking God's kingdom and also these other needs, we are also attending to them. That way we can strike really a balance between pursuing a career successfully mm-hmm. and being grounded in our faith. Sure.
Beautiful. Beautiful. I love that. So we're still encouraged to pursue success, but to do it under the guidance of God so that he himself is the one who defines what success means. Because clearly mm-hmm. success means different things to different people. For some people, it's about earning a lot of money. For some people, it's about getting to the pinnacle of the organization. I must be the CEO or whatever. For other people, it's about continually growing or how much service you can provide to clients and to people around you. So what is God's definition of success, I think, is what should be guiding us.
True.
Now, what does the Bible say about balancing wealth and generosity?
Actually, that's an interesting question because people who have wealth, some of them are considered to be very greedy and the like. So how then can we balance generosity and wealth? So as we consider the relationship between wealth and generosity, it's important that we recall that our treasure is stored in heaven and not on earth. So the Bible teaches us about generosity and giving, that they're essential aspects of our faith. So here are some of the ways we can balance wealth and generosity.
Okay.
On wealth, how we can balance wealth with generosity is by giving. That's the first thing, mm-hmm. giving. So we give generously and cheerfully. And why are we giving? Because we are recognizing that everything which we have, it comes from God, and it's not ours, but it's from God. And when we give, God will also bless us more. Proverbs 11:25 actually mentions that he who watered shall also be watered. So I was hearing previously from the previous comments which you were making after the program, where we're talking about farming and gardening.
Yeah.
You can talk about using a hose pipe to water a garden.
Mm.
You cannot expect that you've watered your garden and the hose pipe is not watered. So when you give, in essence, we are saying God also will bless us abundantly. Then also this reminds us that our generosity will be rewarded by God.
Mm.
If we are generous, God will reward us. Then another thing on how we can balance generosity and wealth is us by having being responsible people, being responsible people.
Yeah.
So we must view wealth as a responsibility and not a right. Meaning that we must use our resources to do good and to help others. We are blessed in order to be a blessing. God grants us what he gives us in order for us to be able to help people see the power of God through us. 1 Timothy 6:17-19, the verse says, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain. So this reminds us that wealth is fleeting and it's uncertain, and that we should not put our hope in it. So this is a balance which we can have, where we are being generous by giving and also by taking wealth as a responsibility and not as a right.
I love that. Wealth is a responsibility, not a right. I think that's a powerful point there. Now, what about ambition? How does ambition align with God's will instead of leading to greed or pride? Because I think when we are ambitious, sometimes that's looked at as being greedy, like you're talking about with wealthy people. It looks like you're not content. Why are you not content with what God has given you? Why are you constantly trying to strive for more and more and more? So how can ambition actually align with God's will instead of leading to greed and pridefulness?
Yes, actually, to be ambitious is not wrong, except when it now leads you to greed and pride.
Mm-hmm.
So striking that a ceiling momentum where, okay, this is how far we can go. This is where now where the aspect of God comes in. So as we consider the role of ambition in our life, let's recall that our ultimate goal, it is to glorify God and to advance his kingdom.
Amen.
So our ambition can align with God's will when we do two things. Number one, it's humility and dependence on God.
Mm-hmm.
So we must recognize that my abilities, your abilities, my successes and your successes, they come from God.
Yeah.
And because they come from God, I must humble myself before God. 1 Corinthians 4:7 says, "For who makes you different from anyone else? What do you have that you did not receive? Mm. And if you did receive it, why do you boast as though you did not?"
Mm.
So this reminds us to recognize our dependence on God and to humble ourselves before him. He who has given us is able to take away also from us.
Mm.
Then the second thing about being ambitious and avoiding being led into greed and pride is that we must seek God's glory instead of our own glory. So we must pursue our ambition with the goal of glorifying God, not self-promotion. If we look at the most common verse which is recited, 1 Corinthians 10:31, where it says, whatsoever you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, so whatsoever includes even ambition, it says, do it for the glory of God. So this encourages us to pursue our ambitions, but with the goal of bringing God glory. So we must ask ourselves, in my ambitions which I have, my plans which I've set forward, the things which I want to achieve, will it bring glory to God? Will God be pleased when he's in heaven? Will he put a smile on his face to say, okay, my child is really doing the best and I'm seeing, I'm being represented in whatsoever he is doing. That is the ultimate goal which we should have to glorify God in our ambitions.
I love that. It ties into the first point that you made when we're talking about pursuing career success, that yes, God wants us to be successful. That's actually good for his reputation when his children are doing well. So he wants us to be successful, but what is our definition of success? What is our aim when we talk about ambition? What is it that you're growing towards? Is it about you or is it about God? Who gets the glory at the end of the day? Is it yourself or is it God?
Yeah.
And I think that's a simple way of figuring out if this ambition that I have is a selfish one or it's one that comes from God. And if it comes from God, then you can go full throttle ahead knowing that God will guarantee you success in that. Now, let's talk about the dangers of idolizing material success and how we can avoid that. Because that's the easiest one, I think, for human beings on this earth, that we want material success. It doesn't mean a whole lot to a lot of us to be successful in terms of having accolades and people clapping hands for us. Well done, well done. But my bank account is empty. Everyone wants money. Everyone wants more and more things. We want that. We want to touch our success. So how? What are the dangers of idolizing that material success? And what are the ways that we can avoid such danger?
True. I like how the question is phrased in idolizing material success. Meaning, material success on its own, it's not harmful. But now when we idolize it, it becomes the center of our mind. We are in church, but we are still thinking of how much we are going to make when we are done. We are in church, but or we are attending to other things. Our minds are just occupied on what will I buy next? What car will I buy next? What attire will I buy next? And all that it's the center of our mind, and it disturbs us from doing other things. So as we consider the dangers of idolizing material success, we must recall that our true treasure is stored in heaven and not on earth. So idolizing material success actually can lead us to a lot of danger, including greed, including pride, and a distorted view of what reality really is. So here are some of the ways we can avoid the dangers of idolizing material success. The first one is just the danger of idolatry on its own, just idolatry.
Yeah.
So we must recognize that idolizing material success is also a form of idol worship, and that it can lead you and me away from God. If we look at Exodus 20 verse 3, this verse tells us that you shall not have any other gods before me. So this reminds us that our ultimate allegiance belongs to God, not to what we have, not our material possession. And we can see that people idolize things because some can say, I cannot go to church except I'm driving. So for the fact that I'm not driving, I cannot do this. I cannot attend to God's business until I get a new suit, a new attire. So if I have odd ones, it's not conducive for me. And some, again, you know, it's so advanced, their idolatry, such that people even idolize the place of worship. They can choose to worship at a certain church and not the other church because the other church seems not to be their level. They want that. They want to, I'm there. It's more like they are chasing after after status for the sake of worshiping and the like. The second thing on how we can, the ways of avoiding is fleeting the nature of wealth, meaning that we must remember that wealth is fleeting and it's uncertain and that it can be taken away just at an instant. Talk of Job, when we go to the book of Job, just at the moment, everything which he had, he lost, including the children, the wealth, and everything. So if we read 1 Timothy 6:17-19, the Bible, like we earlier mentioned, it mentions that wealth is uncertain. It changes. Look at just how our currencies fluctuate. 1 minute later, the dollar is down, the rand is up, the kwacha is low, and all those things. Things are uncertain. So wealth is uncertain. So we cannot put our hope and our security in our wealth, but we can put in God. So I think that that's it on how we can avoid these dangers of idolizing material success.
Powerful. Now, let's bring gratitude into it now and contentment, because I think that's also something that has to be balanced into this whole conversation on success. When we're chasing after success, how can gratitude and contentment shape our perspective on achievement and success?
Yes, actually, being grateful is one of the things which a Christian should embrace. It's one of the things which each one of us should embrace, not just towards God, but also towards one another. Mm. So as we consider the role of gratitude and contentment in our lives, we must recall that our true happiness and fulfillment, it comes from God and not from our achievements. So gratitude and contentment can shape our perspective on achievement by helping us focus on what truly matters. Mm. So the first thing which I can mention is on gratitude and contentment is that we can practice gratitude by focusing on the blessings in your life, mm-hmm. and cultivate contentment by seeing, by being satisfied with what you have. So you begin to check your life and you begin to count your blessings, naming them one by one, as that hymn says, count your blessings, name them one by one. Mm-hmm. So we begin to check, because sometimes we don't feel content and we are not grateful to God for what he has done, because we compare our lives with others. Because I don't have what they have, so I'm not yet there, so there's nothing to thank God about. Well, there's that song which says, thank you, Lord, for your blessing on me. There's a roof on my head, food on my table, shoes on my feet, and a bed to lay my head on. Mm-hmm. I cannot have much money, but I have God who has woken me up today.
Yes.
Some are dead, but I'm alive. So it's enough to just say, thank you, God, for this blessing on me. Mm-hmm. 1 Timothy 6, verse 6 to 8, the Bible says, but godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. So from here, we are reminded that true gain is found in godliness, but with contentment. We are satisfied with where we are. We are happy with what we have. And if we appreciate on little things, and in much, we also appreciate. Because if we cannot appreciate in little, even if we have a lot, we'll never see the beauty of whatsoever we have.
True.
Then the second thing, on contentment and gratitude is by focusing on eternal things.
Mm-hmm.
We focus on eternal things. We focus on things that matter the most. Our focus should move from the earthly things, the earthly achievement, and move to the eternal things which are prepared for us, which is the crown of salvation. Because we asked by Jesus that what shall profit a man if he gains this whole world and loses his salvation.
Mm.
So on this earth, we may not move at the same level with everyone, just like the way we are different on our faces. So it is that even in whatsoever we have, we not have the same packages.
Mm.
So because of that, each one of us has his own restaurant. I can only admire somebody to give me encouragement to push forward, not really to have jealousy in my heart, to feel I am nothing, to feel I am worthless. No. It should be about being encouraged. When you see others as successful, it should not bring negativity to your heart, but it should encourage you to even press forward, to even push forward. So we must recognize that our true treasure is stored in heaven and not here on earth. Colossians 3, verse 1 and 2, the Bible says, since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. So from here, we are encouraged to actually set our hearts and mind on eternal things. So let's always remember that our true happiness and fulfillment, it comes from God, because the things of this world finish, like they finish, and people also are not just grateful. You may help somebody, they will not appreciate you and they like. But if your heart is fixed on God, you still continue to help them because you know your blessing is in heaven and God is really seeing the good works which you are doing. Sure.
Amen. Amen. My elder, thank you so much once again for your time. We're going to wrap it up right there for today and we'll continue this conversation tomorrow, same time, same place. God bless you.
No, thank you. God bless you too.
Amen.
Adventist World Radio, SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.